from Fox League. Yvonne Sampson, a very good morning to you. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Middo. How are you? Good morning, boys.
Morning, Vonster.
Morning, Vonny.
Have you got a... What was the horse you tipped at... Oh, forgot. At $34 for the slipper a few years
Kiyomichi.
Ago? Kiyomichi. No, I knew it started with
Kiyomichi.
K. Kiyomichi. So we've been riding that one for a few years now, haven't we?
Yes, yes. Well, we do have an Uncle Laurie tip. I'm going to have to dig back into my phone. But yes, we do have something for this weekend, so stay tuned. But how good's the racing at this time of year? And the rugby league's never looked better. I don't know. It's a good time to be a sports fan.
Oh, it's as good as it gets. Middle of the autumn carnival. And how about the storylines in rugby league? So many this week and this game tonight. Can't wait for it. Let's wrap what we saw last night, though. And in the grand final rematch, 34-12, Penrith over the Broncos. Brian To'o and Isaac Tungo with doubles. Nathan Cleary in his own world. Outstanding. But certainly the big incident happened early. And we heard a new one, I reckon, from the referee in regards to Taylor May and the clash with Reece Walsh, Vonny, which is going to be well talked about. And we... look to see what happens when the charge sheet comes out today as well.
Yeah, it'll be the most anticipated email ever. I mean, to hear Jared Sutton say Taylan didn't bend his back, I think that made all of us think, well, then it's not an accident. Do you know, if you put that caveat on, if he rushed up out of the line, he had no control, it didn't appear to look like he was attempting to make a tackle, there was no wrapping of the arms, and as the referee said, no bending of the back, then that's pretty much illustrating that you've come out as a deliberate hit. Now, we all know it was a bit of an accident. It was an accidental head clash. Reece Walsh now with a suspected fractured eye socket, which incidentally he did last year and took about 4 weeks on the same eye socket. So, look, I think Taylan, it was a really awful incident to happen so early in the game. And I have to say, last week we saw something similar with Penrith, and they hit Bailey Simonson in the opening few minutes up against Parramatta, and Bailey didn't pass his HIO either. He's still out this week. So Penrith were able to run heaps of traffic down that left edge. So Tungor and Taruva just went berserk. And as we saw last night, Tungor again outstanding, and Brian To'o, because they were trying to scramble. They put... Stags over on the left, and then To'o went crazy. But yeah, look, it's as a Broncos fan, and I know the text line's going to light up and say, "Oh, you one-eyed Queenslander! Oh,
yeah, you
know, put your other head on, Vonnie, blah blah blah." And that's fine. That's completely fine. I'm happy to cop that. But I think we would have to have a sensible conversation about the motive of Taylan May and why it was executed in such a manner, because the way he rushed up. Just didn't look like he was attempting to make a tackle at all.
Vonster, if it's not Reece Walsh, are we having the same conversation?
Look, it puts a different context on it, doesn't it? Yeah. And I think, you know, Clarkie, do you remember, I think Caelan Ponga came up for this sort of attention last year as well. Yeah. And the fullbacks do get a bit isolated. And, of course, you're looking for the number one game breaker, and you put a bit of pressure on him and you move up on him quick and don't give him any space. And yeah, I understand all that. But, yeah, of course, it is a different conversation because it's Reece Walsh. And then, yeah, it just without Reece Walsh, without Adam Reynolds, without Payne Haas, Broncos just, you know, they weren't able to adjust. They had no game plan outside of those three being off the field. So let's put an asterisk beside that result and just politely put no adequate players available for Brisbane. But, yeah, I think it's... The match review committee are going to have a look at it, and they will, and without the Brisbane bias that comes from Vonnie.
interesting, Vonnie. Yeah, I don't think you got too many supporters on our text line, just quietly.
No, they'll be coming for me big time. That's all right. It's okay.
The Bronco, Kevin Walters, how concerned are you, Vonnie? I mean, Payne Haas is out for, 6 weeks? Reece Walsh, I mean, their fingers crossed if it's a fractured eye socket.
Oh, it's 4 to 6 for sure.
Yeah, that's trouble. Adam Reynolds, he always, you know, you're crossing your fingers as far as his body's concerned at the moment. How concerned should Kevin Walters be about his club's predicament at the moment? Or, let's face it, it's round 3. No need to press the panic button here.
I haven't been that impressed by the Broncos so far this year.
No.
I think they were... Oh, a little bit underdone in Vegas. They weren't great last week. And potentially, given what they were able to achieve last year, they probably just thought it was all going to happen again this season. And you can forgive them for that. They're a young playing group. They thought, oh, we'll just turn up and do the same thing and we'll get the same result. But it doesn't. There's no guarantee that you'll have the success. There's no guarantee you'll get back to the grand final. And certainly, you know, that they spoke about, oh, we're not going to talk about the grand final and we're not speaking about that. And what happened on October 1st in 2023 is a day that we'll put behind us. Well, that's between me and my therapist, just quietly, because it's a day I'll never forget. But, you know, you can play all those mind games. But at the end of the day, there was a lot of hard work and a lot of execution and a lot of luck, you have to say, that goes into getting to that premiership game. And I think it's a good lesson for these young Broncos. They're going to have to do it tough. And I think psychologically too, when Payne isn't on the field, they probably are guilty of thinking, oh, well, that's a bit of an excuse, you know, because they're so used to his superhuman efforts and his meters and his carries, and they get used to that being in their game. So when he's not there, they might give themselves a bit of an easy out and say, well, you know, we don't have Payne, so it'll be all right, boys. We'll just try our best. But we know they're in the market for a forward. They are a bit short there. You know, the boys tried, but yeah, it just wasn't. They are just short on a big body there, so they've got the checkbook out. They're looking, but yeah, I don't know, it might be a lean couple of, well, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks for the Broncos, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
Vonnie, we're all pumped for the rivalry game tonight. Roosters, Rabbitohs. What have you made of the drama at Redfern this week?
Well, what about Jason Demetriou yesterday?
Yeah, spicy,
refused,
wasn't it?
To explain. Absolutely refused. Just said, it's none of your business, to be quite honest, his reasoning behind dropping Lachlan Ilias. He spoke in depth to his halfback. He said, look, it's a step sideways so that we can move forward again. And just said basically to the media, get over it. It's not that dramatic, just picking a different 17. So I'm really looking forward to seeing Dean Hawkins, who's New South Wales Cup Player of the Year last year, Randwick-born, Matraville Tiger raised. And you have to say, this is not his Bunnings debut, but this would have to be the biggest match of his young career. And South have got to get out of their own way. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Jack Whiten. I ran into him in Vegas. He was very disappointed to not be able to be part of the Bunnies so far this season. It's going to be, I mean, this rivalry, Roosters and Rabbitohs, this is like why families watch this rivalry in different rooms. You know, this is why neighbours don't talk to each other this week. It's so good. It's the oldest rivalry in the game. Two foundation clubs. It's got the history, it's got the hatred, and it's got Jared Weir-Hargreaves' 300th match. And the biggest challenge for Jared, and I absolutely love him, is that he's got to stay on the field because he can overcook it. He can overcook it, and this is a big occasion. So the eyes might be rolling back, and JWH just might get a little bit up on his toes for this one. But, I can't wait. This will be a fantastic game.
I was a Brookie last Sunday. I just can't get over how long he warms up for.
Oh, he stalks the sideline. He stalks the sideline. You watch him.
Oh.
He's like just right next to that white chalk, and he sort of looks over on what's going on in the field of play, and like he's intimidating just looking at him on the sideline.
Incredible.
Vonnie, what's the story with Zach Lomax? I feel like we spoke about him all pre-season. We're into the season. We're still talking about him.
You know what? I love Ben Hunt. I love him so much, but he's honest to a fault. So Ben Hunt comes out and goes, oh, yeah, no, I know Zach doesn't want to be here, but he's not unhappy. He just wants to leave.
Wow.
So make of that what you will. So, I mean, Zach clearly doesn't want to be on the wing. So he's seeking out other options. He's seeing what other clubs can offer him, but he's not unhappy. And look, he's round one. He was the winger of the round, you'd have to say. And my husband, who's a mad dragon, was saying insane things like he's going to play wing for Origin. And it's good. I love to see Zach play like that because he's such a good player. But then when your skipper comes out and goes, oh, yeah, no, he's not happy. I mean, he is happy here, but he wants out. It's a bizarre rhetoric to have around the Dragons. It's disappointing for the Dragons. I think they just don't need that. They're trying so hard to build something that matters this year, and Flanagan will put that edge into them when we saw that in round one. To be back at Cogra this weekend, they're hoping it's going to be a big crowd up against the Cowboys. The Red V roller coaster, they want to steady the ship just a little bit because they look like world beaters a couple of weeks ago and then just absolute spuds last week. So let's see that this weekend at Jubilee Oval, they can do something that they can build a little bit of consistency because the Cowboys, they came out of that Golden Point shootout in Townsville. Now they're chasing three straight wins. They'll be up and about too. So, you know, the Zach Lomax thing, you just don't need that sort of stuff bubbling around your club when you're trying to move forward in a really positive way.
Can you just paint the picture of your household about 7:30 last Sunday night then?
Oh, but so we're 20 minutes to go. Chris always goes and puts his jersey on and goes and puts his hat on. So he's always dressed in his Dragons kit. And he just does Clark it without warning.
What do you mean? Like to go to bed or to watch the game?
No, to watch the game. And
he puts his jersey and his hat on.
Absolutely. He goes and puts the full kit on. I know. So he comes out, he's fully dressed. So he's sitting on the lounge, he's fully dressed. And it goes really badly, right? And then with 20 minutes to go, he throws the hat at the TV and goes, "I'll put maths on. I've had enough."
Put maths on.
Yeah. So we ended up watching the commitment ceremony of maths.
With his jersey on.
With his jersey on, yeah.
I reckon you'd do the... I like to put the gear on, but have a jumper over the top. And depending how the game's going, if it's going well, you take the jumper off and you're loud and proud.
You're sweating every game. You haven't taken it off for 5 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Says me, who owns the wooden spoon. Yeah.
Two of them.
Yeah. Third on its way by the sounds of things. You listen to Bulldog.
Are you coming to Leichhardt? This weekend?
No, come on. I'm not coming until we win. When we start winning, I'm a true supporter. When we start winning, I'll be there.
Leichhardt will be extinct by the time that happens.
well, you know what, Vonnie? There's still a few vacancies on that West Tigers board at the moment. They're still trying to fill a few vacancies. Yeah, so we
look in a different direction.
We never know what can happen there.
No, we do know.
Just on the Cameron Munster situation, Vonnie, Cameron Smith with a little hot mic comment was picked up yesterday. I think people within rugby league know that Cameron Munster's injury might be a little bit more serious than what was first thought. What are you hearing about Cam Munster and how long he might be out of that Storm team for?
Yeah, so this is my worst nightmare, and I'm sure everyone who works in and around microphones has had a bit of a gut check moment where you're like, were we on? Did that go to air? It wasn't surprising because Craig Bellamy has pretty much come out and said this already, is that they are pretty bamboozled about the recovery. And even Cam Munster has said, one day it feels good, the next day it feels bad. So there's no consistency in the recovery of this groin. What's the one up from a groin? It's some pubis.
Osteotis pubis. Yeah. That's what he's got.
Is that what he's got? Is that what it sounds like?
Yes.
Well, then that's a long and complicated recovery.
But can't you inject it? Can't you local anaesthetic it to play? Like a number of players have played a season with it. So I don't understand why he's not getting it injected.
Maybe too early in the season to take those risks. They might try and nurse him through for a little bit. I don't know.
Mm. We need a doctor.
Yeah, and don't look this way.
Call the NRL physio.
If in doubt, I'm all for a needle. If in doubt, inject it. That's my theory on life.
Yvonne Sampson from Fox League joining us. And Vonnie, we've got a nice little entree tonight across the ditch as well on Fox League from 6 o'clock. It is sold out in Christchurch. The Warriors, who are 0-2, who suffered the most... what type of defeat you would call it, with Xavier Coates scoring that just magical try in the corner last Saturday night in Melbourne, up against a Raiders side which couldn't win a game, couldn't put anyone away last year, have won their first two games of the season 13+. I'm just seeing as well, it's being reported over in New Zealand that the Warriors assistant coach Richie Agar has confirmed that Wade Egan won't return. And that is a big blow for them. We know sort of the guile and the impact he has on that side. But this is a really good game for a side that's desperate in the Warriors and the Raiders, who have had a great start to the season, Vonnie.
Oh, the Raiders are on top of the ladder for the first time since 2005. That's unbelievable. And they were written off so badly by most people, saying, well, they're going to no doubt drop out of the eight and they might even get the spoon and Ricky's got no one to work with. But like Ethan Strange and Jamal Fogarty, they've lifted in the shadow of Jack Whiten. And Ricky's kept it really simple and it's been hugely effective. They also get Elliot Whitehead back for the first time this year. So their captain's back. They're ready to head across to New Zealand. As you mentioned, it is a sold-out game at Christchurch. This sold out weeks ago, by the way. And the poor old Warriors, I mean, they were sitting around. I had a full page, like we were seconds away from a famous victory, which is very rare for the Warriors in Melbourne over the Storm. And I had a whole page of questions for Sean Johnson and, you know, like we're ready to go. And Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, what a return. And then all of a sudden, Xavier Coates goes into the stratosphere and does what I think is probably one of the best match winners we've ever seen. And the poor old Warriors fans are sitting around going, why us? Why did you do it against us? We had that. That was in the bag. So, look, Xavier's try sort of eclipsed everything. But the Warriors have, look, they let that round one go and against the Sharks, and they were really disappointed about that. Last week, I think there's not much we could have done against Xavier Coates. But they've got a really good chance tonight in this early game on a Friday. And up against the Raiders won't, well, with the greatest of respect, the Raiders don't have a Xavier Coates-esque thing that could go wrong. You know, it would be a miracle if something like that happened on the bell for them. So, yeah, the Warriors have a really good chance to get their first win of the year. And, look, they're not panicking, but they probably want to be... They want to get a little bit of momentum because the early hits and misses in this season, because the season sort of moves up on you pretty quick. And then you look back and you go, well, look at the ledger. Where are we sitting? Why, you know, that's why the Raiders are up on top. They've made every post a winner so far. So, yeah, the Warriors have got a really good chance. I've tipped them because I think they're at home. This is probably the best shot so far this year.
Parramatta Manly's the other game, isn't it, on Sunday afternoon. What a game this is going to be. And Manly, what a start to the season they've had as well. And Parramatta, despite the loss to Penrith last week, it still looked pretty impressive over the opening fortnight. Vonnie, how do you expect this one to play out?
Yeah, I really like the Eels. And let's not forget, they were up by two at halftime over Penrith last week. And I love it when these two play. Like, you know, it just gives Fox a chance to run out all those old Tui's ads. You know, here we go again. Manly apparent. So good. Like, you just, it just sort of stirs something in you know, the rugby league blood of ours. And, yeah, look, the Sea Eagles, they've been exceptional two from two, like, DCE, Ruben Garrick, Luke Brooks, they've all been sterling so far. Tom Trbojevic is a man possessed. If you have a look at his stats the last fortnight, he is up and about. He's leading from the front. He's looking for so much work. He's got major meters. And I think Ola Kawatu has been one of the monsters to start 2024. He's been so good. So, look, Manly are obviously the form team. I really like Parra. I think there's something about CommBank Stadium. It'll be a big atmosphere on a Sunday afternoon, this old rivalry. Mitch Moses, Dylan Brown, Clint Gutherson. I think they're going to deliver something special. So I've tipped the Eels.
What are you tipping in the slipper, Vonnie?
Oh, well, I mean, Storm boys and everyone, especially after the draw. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there are some options, but, I mean, you'd think that he is as good as they say. The slipper is such a wonderful day, and I absolutely love it. I'll have to text you Uncle Laurie's tips because I forgot to dig into my phone in the break, but I'll text you it and you can tell everyone,
yep.
Mido. But, yeah, I mean, it's Storm Boy seems to be the one that they're all coming for, and you know, if it all plays out the way it should. What did you say the track was?
Soft five.
Mm.
Ideal.
Yeah, absolutely perfect. Mm. I know they said he missed the jump last start, and that what is it, gate three? He might struggle a little bit, but two. But, yeah, they'll have him up. They'll have him rizzed up, ready to go.
Vonnie, you have a sensational weekend. It was great to see you at the lunch as well last Friday.
Oh, how did everyone pull up?
Average, in a word.
It was such a wonderful event. Congratulations, and well done to all of the fans who got there. And you know, everyone makes such a big effort to come from far and wide, and you've really got the best listeners. So, yeah, well done.
Good on you, Vonnie. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, boys.
Terrific to be at Rosehill Gardens this morning on the eve of the $5 million TAB Golden Slipper, five Group 1s. I think it's the best racing day of the year. Outstanding day tomorrow. Storm Boy, the $2.40 favourite with TAB. Switzerland for Chris Waller and James McDonald at $4.60. Lady of Camelot, $7.50. They're the three runners in single digits as it stands. And it is great this morning to have joining us trackside here at Rosehill champion trainer Chris Waller. G'day, Chris. How are you?
I'm very well, boys. Very well.
We were just having a chat off air. Tell us about the first time you were trackside to watch a golden slipper here at Rosehill.
Yeah, it was Bint Mask Day, and I was only a young buck. And I clearly remember watching the race. They were in the barriers, crash, they open, and all of a sudden they're just in the straight. It was that quick. It was that fast. Just an amazing experience. And I think that's what captures the imagination of non-race goers and young people is the speed and the attraction of the atmosphere tomorrow.
What did it mean to win it with Shinzo last year? Of all the race wins you've had, why is this race special?
Thank goodness.
Yeah, it was relief.
Because it's our backyard, it's a big deal. Mm. It's what shapes the breeding industry. That's where they get all the high prices from. It really is a big deal in our industry, simple as that.
Chris, how do you deal with that expectation? And again, I would imagine any time you have success, any time you win, yes, there's always expectation from outside, but it's the expectation from within that I'm sure you have. Come tomorrow, you want to be winning again.
Yeah, it's and there's a lot at stake. So there's a lot of money invested with a lot of the horses, including the horse that I train. And then there's the cheaper, more affordable horses that everybody can afford to race. The expectation to not win it every year, but the expectation is to have runners. The expectation is to do well. So yeah, when you're dealing with the cards we're playing with, you're expected to perform. So it's a very important day on the calendar.
Does that mean come tomorrow, will you still have those nerves that you've had in the past, or does winning it last year make game day easier?
Yeah, nerves sort of build throughout the couple of weeks leading into a big game or a big race.
Yeah.
And I think you focus those nerves on just making sure things are done right and making sure you're not upsetting people around you. So it is a huge team, and I don't have much to do with Switzerland, the runner and the slipper. I look at them every morning and every afternoon, but there's a rider, there's a strapper, there's a person in charge of that barn. So, yeah, it's just things coming together and the nerves are spread. And we get to race day and it's actually a relief. They're there. We've made it to game day.
He's a serious, serious colt, Chris, this Switzerland. I'm intrigued to know, at what stage of his preparation do you sort of identify, okay, wow, we've got some ability with this horse, and you maybe, say, target a golden slipper and think, we can get this horse to a golden slipper?
Yeah, well, two-year-olds are a little bit different because they're young teenagers still growing, and we haven't really found out where the ceiling is. So, yes, they show you great ability like natural sports people do, but we don't know where that cap is. So you just gradually raising the bar, gradually encouraging them to take the next step and not disappointing them. So obviously that's where you get down to a field of 16 or so tomorrow. I think there would have been 2,000 plus entries for the race. Wow. And they just dwindle away and that bar keeps raising, and fortunately Switzerland's still there.
Barrier 7 of 16, how ideally does it play out for Switzerland?
Well, it's good to have great jockeys aboard, and some of the world's best are riding here at Rose Hill tomorrow, and James McDonald makes my job so much easier because you hand the horse over to him. As I said, tomorrow morning our job's done. We hand it over to James, and it's then up to James to work out inch by inch where he can strategically fit, where the horse can be comfortable. It's be like a If you go forward and you're not used to going forward, it would be like a fullback playing in the forwards. It would be like a number 10 batsman opening the batting. They really are out of their depth. So it's James's job from that barrier 7, knowing that there's 6 to his inside that are going to be ridden almost identical, trying for the same spots, as well as pressure coming from the outside. So it's just a matter of that jockey having confidence in his own decisions, knowing how the race is likely to pan out, and then just hoping for a little bit of sporting luck.
Chris, we've seen you in a number of Group 1 races over many, many years qualify 7, 8 runners for big Group 1 races. Gay's got 6 in the golden slipper there tomorrow. It's a phenomenal achievement. How do you, like, what as a rival trainer, what respect do you have for her and Adrian to have qualify so many horses for a golden slipper?
She's a benchmark, Gay is, and Adrian's doing a great job to help support Gay. It's as simple as that. And there's, and I'd say Gay's revitalised with Adrian coming along. So how do we... she's just the shop window for racing. She attracts people to racing. She's a lot more she's a lot more flair than me.
she's got more flair than everyone, I think.
So she's amazing for the sport, and I really look up to her for that, for that, as well as her training ability. And to have that many horses come together on one day, it's a big feat.
So much commentary about the track last Saturday. How do you expect it to play tomorrow, and where do you expect it to be at it with its rating?
We've had a good week with the weather, and that's a big help to everybody. So it should play fair, and it'll be a good surface. And at this time of year, it's great. The tracks don't get too firm. Mm. So, yeah, it'll be a nice even track.
I believe you were just telling us you went and saw Winx's filly at Coolmore as well, which is going to go through the sale ring soon at Inglis.
Yeah, it's going to be a great spectacle. There's so many people from around the world talking about this filly that's being sold. It's a unique one-off almost. Well, to date, there has been only one foal from Winx, and she's been retired from racing 4 or so years. So, yeah, they're not easy to make. There's finally one being made, and it's put on the market. So it's a collector's item, and obviously a lot of people around the world will be interested.
Perfect time for Michael to get back into ownership.
Oh, please.
She looked like mum, Chris? Does she?
Pretty similar. Yeah. A lot of mum's traits, which is quite unique considering you've got mum and then a dad. Even a full sister to Winx could look completely different. Yeah. So yeah, there's certainly a lot of similarities.
Obviously, a lot of great chances tomorrow, Chris. When you look at Riff Rocket, obviously up there in the Rosehill Giddies market, the likes of Militarives, Kovalik, it just can't draw a gate, that horse, can it?
No, it drew similar in the Golden Eagle, yeah.
Mm. What are you particularly keen on tomorrow as far as ready to peak and run its best performance?
It's just one of those days racing. There's so many chances. Mm. Militarives will run well on the George Ryder, Riff Rocket, as you said, in the Rosehill Guineas. And in the Randvet, we've got two overseas horses. One, Buckaroo's been here 6 months, and the other one, Via Sistine, has got really good international form. So she's just getting off the plane like Michael. And
if she's not as tight as me.
Horses cope really well. They don't eat caviar or drink
champagne. Oh, please.
Very good.
Don't you join these two.
It's a great little clip. Well, we've got sleep on king beds on planes.
Mate, cattle class, they call it where I was.
But on Via Sistina, because Adam's very keen on it.
Yeah, we've got her in the multi tomorrow, Chris, cool. And serious European form, I think. So we're hoping that she can do the job for us.
Yeah, so she was prepared in England. She's been here 3 weeks, and everything seems to have gone pretty well. We don't actually do a lot of work with them when they get here because they are adjusting to a different season. And we're just banking on her fitness being right and her bringing that European form, because it really is serious form.
Chris, we really appreciate your time on a busy week for you and giving an insight into our listeners into Switzerland and your stable. Thank you so much. Pleasure. Enjoy the day.
Good luck, buddy.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you on. Chris Waller joining us. Ahead of Golden Slipper Day tomorrow, and we now have joining us, in fact, I've got Uncle Laurie's tip as well, by the way, courtesy of Vonnie. Uncle Laurie is tipping us in the Rosehill Guineas, which is race 6 on the card. He likes Cap Farrar for Chris Waller and Ryan Moore to ride. Is it Farrar? Farrat? How are we pronouncing it?
I started calling it Farrat, but quickly got pulled up.
Farrar. There you go. Got to really put that French twang on it, don't you?
You'll find
Cap Farrar. There you go. $26 and $5 the place is Uncle Laurie's tip for the Rosehill Guineas tomorrow. But there you go. And there's a comment here. Best maiden in Australia. $485,000 in prize money without a win, but third up, I think, is ideal at $26. A little gets you a lot if he lobs. Gamble responsibly, of course. But there you go. Thanks to Yvonne Sampson's Uncle Laurie for that little tip. And thank you, Chris, again, for being with us this morning. We've got Michael Maxworthy, Queensland. well, Sky Racing's Queensland Four medalist. And Maxi, a very good morning to you ahead of one of the bumper days of the year. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Mido. Good morning, guys. Yeah, we've got a meeting at Eagle Farm tomorrow. That certainly plays second fiddle to Rose Hill, five Group 1s. Good to hear that track report, Mido, a soft five. And yeah, let's get stuck into it. And our two-year-old race at Eagle Farm tomorrow is probably the highlight on the nine race card up here, where it should be weather fine, track good.
What are you tipping there at the farm tomorrow?
In that fourth race for the two-year-olds, we've got Divine Force, two starts, two wins returning. We've got El Morzillo, who last start, although ran ninth at Randwick, it was a great run by her. That was in the English Millennium, and she had no clear running until about the last 50 metres. She was right on the heels of the place getters. Should she win this race tomorrow, she'll be heading back to Sydney for the Percy Sykes for the fillies, but she's drawn gate 10. Mashani Lily's lining up. She was good in the duel, went third. And then my selection, number four, Zuna. Now, he's by Zusane, this fellow. He's a lovely colt. And he really made a sit up and take notice at his debut a couple of Wednesdays ago at Doomben, winning with plenty of authority. So barrier one for him. I think the pendulum will swing in his favour tomorrow in that fourth race at Eagle Farm. The two-year-old, number four, Zuna. We've got an interesting visitor, Mido, in race number five. Matt Dale sending Malibu up here. We've seen her up here before as a two-year-old. She ran third in a recent trial at Goulburn behind Front Page. And here Davo's giving him a rough chance tomorrow in the Galaxy. But I do think that outweighed number one, the Queensland three-year-old filly here, she's going to be mighty hard to beat. And despite the presence of Malibu, I'm thinking that outweighed is the best bet at Eagle Farm tomorrow. Race five, number one, back to three-year-old company.
Okay, currently $2.30 with Tab. We've got to get your slipper tip as well, Maxi. What are you
thinking?
Well,
no surprises. I've been listening to all of the tips this morning, and I'm with just about everybody with Storm Boy. We were lucky enough to see him a couple of times up here, and we know that he doesn't, he's a big colt. He doesn't break that well from the start. And when he's done that in quite a few of his starts so far, he's been hustled forward. But I think this time Ryan Moore will just let him come out of the gates, balance him up just in behind them, conserve plenty of energy, and then look out when they turn into the straight. I find him very, very hard to go past, guys. Storm Boy in the slipper, like most people tomorrow.
It's got to 240 now.
Yeah,
and significant money already for it today, in fact. By far the best back today, but just got out 10 cents. So it'll be interesting to what it trades at.
Yeah, say it's a great race. I mean, the depth middo to the slipper this year, I can't recall it, you know, for quite some time. You've got roughies there that, you know, would be probably even money favourite in a normal two-year-old race on a Saturday. Espionage, with terrific form lines, hasn't even made it into the race. So yeah, whatever you like, I think you're going to get a decent price. And, yeah, around about 240. It'll be interesting to see what price Storm Boy goes off. But I do think if he gets the breaks, then, you know, we're going to really see something a bit special tomorrow.
Maxi, thank you as always, mate. And have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
The racing show's essential listening with such a big day's racing ahead of us tomorrow. And Steve Hewlett will have it all covered on Radio Tab. Morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm very good, Jared. Yes, we're all excited like you guys are as well. Gay Waterhouse is going to join me in a few moments' time. And she's going to tell us, unfortunately, she won't be on track to watch all her horses. She suffered a bit of an injury. So, look, she'll join us. She's won six in her own right, of course, one with Adrian, so seven total. Joe Pride, it's important we find out about, think about it, if he's definitely going to run, and also get the latest on Private Eye and the other horses there. William Haggis will join me about post-impressionist. Ben Thompson from Hong Kong. Sean Patterson, read the track in Sydney, and lots of other news. And that's just in the first hour, so it's a busy show.
Yep, busy indeed. Who's your sleeper tip, Steve?
I like Lady of Camelot to run in the first four, but I'm a bit like Michael. He's just an awesome colt, isn't he, Storm Boy? It's interesting when you go back and look at the, you know, the past 20 years or so, and horses that sit on the fence, they've got a wonderful record, whether it be box seat, three fence, four fence. You know, they've got a wonderful record sitting on the fence. So we'll talk about that this morning as well.
It's incredible, isn't it? That stat, what is it, 18 of the last 20 winners have
found. Oh, you touched on that earlier. Yeah, incredible.
From a Queensland interest as well, Uncommon James, of course, in this Galaxy, which is just a sensational race tomorrow as well.
Oh, it is. And he's just one of many chances. I mean, it's one of those races where you just, you know, even Sunshine in Paris, he's such an interesting horse, you know, bringing it first up, last prep off a similar break of trials. Jockey hasn't moved on her in both the trials. A very serious racehorse, Sunshine in Paris. So I think probably one of the most interesting runners of the day, that mare.
I agree. Thank you so much, Steve.
No worries. Pleasure.
Enjoy. Coming up on Radio Tab shortly. I was just thinking with Think About It in Private Eye, Adam. Joe Pride, he's just pulled the right rein. He's brought Private Eye back in distance, and look how good he's going.
Private Eye got to 2,000 metres in a previous preparation, didn't he, when he was down in Melbourne 18 months ago, or close to that, wasn't he? I'm pretty sure.
Did. Won what, an Epsom? Won another Group 1 mile race, I'm sure, as well. Anyway,
One down in Melbourne,
yeah, exactly. So and now here it is running over 1,100 metres.
Oh, it's crazy, isn't it? And think about it's going the other way. It's going the other way, isn't it?
I'm unreal. But hopefully Think About It is okay. DS is joining us. How are you, Dave?
Yeah, morning, Middo. Morning, everyone. Big morning this morning. I've heard you guys at Rose Hill. We've got a massive day in New South Wales today where we've got obviously Scone and Albury. And at Scone, of course, we've got that country championship wild card race. We've got the Albury Cup on today. And then all roads lead to Rose Hill. So we need to try and find some winners, boys.
You met Michael?
DS.
Michael, you're back.
How are you, champion?
How are you, mate?
Never been better.
Mate, just in time for the carnival too, mate. We're going to have a big carnival this year. I'm determined to try and get you at Randwick at some point, mate.
Oh, don't be determined. I'm in.
I like
it. Right beside you.
I like it because I think this is going to be just a carnival that we'll remember forever.
Ooh,
now we're more ways than one, mate.
Yes, now we're talking. I like your thinking.
How is Rose Hill this morning, Minnow? Because I saw some photos with the track manager, Sean Patterson. I know you've been talking to the audience, but if people are just tuning in, is it a beautiful sunny day there? I mean, we're going to be racing on
It's overcast, but it looks like the rain's gone, though.
Yeah, it's not rainy at all.
Earlier, it looked like it didn't look good, but I reckon it's blown away.
We're going to be fine, mate. This track should be ideal tomorrow. Shouldn't it, Adam?
Yep. It's high cloud cover. It doesn't look like it's going to rain. It looks like the clouds are slowly moving away. Yeah. I think we'll start on a soft 5 DS tomorrow, and with any luck, maybe later in the day, we'll get to a good 4.
Well, we've got Luke Marlowe at Rose Hill today for HQ. I'm in the southern part of the state, in Albury. If that weather system is moving north, I can't see a cloud in the sky here in Albury. So we're going to have blue skies tomorrow for Slipper Day, and I know that they're going to have a big day there at Scone. So we've got Shano Cash joining us after the scratchings and news. He's going to take us through all the tips he's got for today. We've got the punters panel. We'll have a punters panel multi. Vince Accardi will be on the show. We'll have our quiz. We'll preview all the meetings today. And as I said, we'll just try and find a winner. I know that you've been searching for tips, etc., for the meeting tomorrow, Middo. And before we get your slipper tips, before we wrap up the show, I'm still with the Victorian. I think it'll run a big race. Hey, Sugi.
No
Lady
cares,
of Camelot's
Dave.
Been a big firm, hasn't it?
No one cares, mate, what you like.
No one cares. Oh, there he is. Oh, there's the myth. The myth's in
brother.
Town. Stanley, mate, good to have you on the program. Now, I'm just concerned.
Tim Zeus
just
walked in.
I was going to go to HR. Boys, I was going to go to HR because Marlo, this is your second shift of the week, mate. So I know you only usually work one shift a week. So are you all right?
I'm good, DS. What about Rose Hill Trials Monday? Did you miss that one? So third shift, thank you very much. But
three. Geez.
Not counting. He's not counting.
Three. Mate, with all this boxing training and shifts, I'm worried about it. I just don't want you to overdo
it. Gee, I'm busy.
Well, DS, he hasn't got a mark on his face, so those pads obviously don't hit back.
No. Can I give you up, Marlo?
Yeah, say whatever, DS.
So, pup, you'll love this. I spoke
can
to
I give you up?
Week.
As if you're not going to go
in. Yeah, no, no. But you'll love this, boys. You'll love this. Earlier in the week, we spoke. Yep, all sweet. How good for the week? And he said, oh, yep, I'm training. I said, oh, mate, how's it all going? Like, because you won't know who you're fighting. Luke won't know who he's fighting until, obviously, late in the piece. And then he dropped. And you did do this, mate. He went, look, I've assessed the form. I think I've got them covered. So he's already up and about. And
I love it.
Oh. But then I did say to him, because obviously you're going to be, Luke, you're going to be sparring with people and they'll be assessing. I said, run dead. Yep. You don't want to be too good the trials.
Well, do you know what I've realised? And for anyone who out there is listening who hasn't seen me in the flesh, I'm sort of like that. You know the longboard they surf on? That's my sort of body shape. So I've copped a few in the head in the training. And, you know, okay, that hurt a bit. But I'm realising I've got an issue in the ribs, guys. I'm really not enjoying
it. If you're fighting you, that's all I'd
go for.
Body
contact.
Oh, no.
Well, you're giving up cast, secrets so already, Luke.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't give away your secrets.
That wasn't smart.
Just the ribs.
my sponsor's name on the bottom of your shoes are going to do just fine.
Do you know what we're going to do, actually? What we're going to have to do, we're going to have to interview Marlo's opponent on the show.
Oh, can't wait.
Before his
fight.
But
how far in advance do you find out, though?
2 days.
Or 2 days?
Is that all?
Mate, that's heaps of prep.
Yeah, heaps.
2 days is plenty.
I'd rather just, you know. I don't want them getting too nervous. But,
don't worry, it goes both ways. They're not going to get that. That means they've only got 2 days to assess you.
What
as
about
well.
The poor? What about the poor opponent who thought they were just going to go in, you know, a bit shy, didn't want any media attention?
Well,
now we're throwing them
sport,
on national
mate.
Radio. You know, you're fighting Marlo. Fair dinkum. How good, boys?
It's going to be fun.
What's your slipper tip, Marlo?
Look, I can't go past Storm Boy DS. He's just. A
I
beast.
Shouldn't laugh.
But
actually,
do you know what? I actually think the danger is the emergency, espionage. It'd be a travesty if he doesn't get a run. I think at 20-1, if he gets into the field, I think he's the best chance of knocking him off. But just think he might be different gravy, the favourite, Adam.
Well, since when does the Breeders' Plate winner not get into the slipper?
It's
like
wild,
it's incredible to think about it, isn't it? I suppose with
it's
the golden gift we got now and the prize money offer for that, it sort of guarantees a couple of spots. So I'm with Switzerland. I'm going to stick with him. I've been with him for a few weeks. I'm going to stay with Switzerland.
Switzerland for me as well. We better go. It's 9 o'clock. Everyone, enjoy your slipper day. Thanks, everyone at Rosehill Gardens, too, for accommodating us this morning. Marlo, you enjoy your
What do you like
weekend.
Today, Stanley? What do you like today at Albury?
What's your cares, missus buddy. Riding, mate? What's Alicia on today?
She's got Regal Line in the Cup and Progetto in the last. Just a quiet day, two rides.
She's on the plane down here, so
Can you help her get home?
Progetto,
she might
win the last. I tell you what, there. If you're wanting a whispered tip from the Calcutta last night, you want to be on check side in race one. There you go.
Right.
That's the mail that's was floating around last night. Check side.
Just looked at the forecast, mate. Big storm tonight. Big storm. Be careful on the plane.
Mate, only the good die young. I'm right. Don't worry about that. See you, boys.
See you,
boys. Bye bye.